Turn to John's Gospel, please. Chapter 19. And verse number 30, when Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Now turn back a few chapters. Chapter 8. Again, we're just going to read the one text. Verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Now, chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 24. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word, believeth on him," or "believeth him that sent me, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." Now John 10, please. Well known text, verse 27. "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give unto them eternal life. They shall never perish, neither shall any pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gives them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Could I get you to look back to chapter 8 again, please? And verse number 21. "Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come." Verse number 23. "And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins." Trust God will help us to close the meeting in these verses. Very simplistic, what's on my mind, right on the surface of our reading. John's Gospel is the Gospel, it has always been noted, as the Gospel of the soul winner. That is, if someone did stay behind tonight, we would take you through from different verses from our Bible, whether in picture or whether to illustrate. But generally speaking, we never leave a soul without turning to John's Gospel. There's something with this gospel that breathes absolute authority. And so when we're looking at this gospel, I just want to pick out words that are relevant to you tonight in our world that are found here on the surface of these texts. And that is, I want to look that John, in his gospel, gives a note of victory. That the gospel that we preach is nothing to be ashamed of, whatever. It's a gospel that we can ring out. No matter where, whether in the open air, or whether talking to someone, or no matter where we travel, we are never ashamed because it carries with it a note of victory. That's why we have the words of Christ on the cross. "When, my friend, he sustained the wrath of God against humankind's sin, he said in triumph," one word in Greek, I'm not a Greek scholar, I'm dependent on what they say, and he says one word, "Tetelestai," which means finished. The work is over. It cancels in our thinking.
And it comes in your thought tonight that you can do one solitary thing to save your soul or to put away your sin. Nothing, friend. That you can do no self-effort. It's not a matter of trying to get yourself into a religious fever or getting into a fervor of enthusiasm and say, I'm going to get it, so I'm going to do this. No, friend. The work of Christ stands a monument that indeed cancels in the thinking of any man, intellectual, or rather my friend, one who is uneducated, it cancels forever
that we can do anything to get to heaven.
That work tells me, my friend, of the note of triumphant victory when Christ was on the cross, the Lord Jesus, God's Son, coming from the glories of heaven, splendors that we can never even try to capture in our thinking. He left it all, and he came down, friend, with one particular purpose. My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish the work. And that work was totally completed, of course, as you know, and those who preach the gospel, the word is delightful. It means accomplished. It means fulfilled. But there's another word it means, and we use it maybe not so often. It means paid in full. That's why tonight, friend, I haven't one quiver in my soul that I'll ever be lost. I am as sure of heaven as if I was there. I don't have a doubt about it. Not because of me, I'm a feeling creature. And if you only knew how doubting I am in myself. But friend, I have no doubt, no qualm, no fear. I am depending upon a work that has satisfied God and that has thrilled the very heart of heaven.
That's what's wrong with me. I'm not thrilled enough. If I could get beyond the blue, I'm beyond the starry skies. And past every planet, and past every angel, and past every archangel, and past the seraphim and the cherubim, my friend, and I could touch the throne of God, I could feel the pulse on the Almighty, and that pulse moves with the very word that some soldiers have. We had a man, maybe he remembers it, I'm sure he does, there's a number of years when we had the meetings together, but there was a man happened to come in selling lumber. That was his job. He was a manager of selling lumber to the different farmers and so forth that were building different buildings, whether for pigs or for turkeys or cattle. That was his job. He was a salesman, and he came into a yard, and he was a nice type of a man, and very fluent in his speaking and salesmanship, and he was talking to this Christian man, and as he was talking, an odd curse word, swear word, would leave his lips. And of course the Christian was not too happy with that, and then there happened to be, they'd already started to build a certain barn, a long barn, one of the largest in the countryside. And these boys were all up working, and they were hammering, and they were talking, and they were sawing, and they were doing all their work. And the man stopped him, and he says, this is a strange construction site. He said, those people seem to be happy what they're doing, and I don't hear them cursing. Said the fine Christian gentleman, that's because they're all going to heaven that's still working up there. And I took the man back a piece, and he says, well, I thought I was, but I hope. No, he says, they're sure of it. Well, he says, I am a good, and you know, he told him, he's very sincere what he was, he had a Catholic background, and he wasn't ashamed of it, fine. We're not here throwing stones against religion. I'm only using the illustration, and of course, the man says, look, I'll tell you what to do. There are two men preaching, have to be up to this. Paired together. Anyway, the two of us were together preaching the gospel. He says, why don't you come to the gospel meeting tonight? Well, he said, you know, I've got a wife and some four or five children. Well, he says, bring them for supper first. That's the plan. That makes it easy. To bring a wife and 57. Into a house and a woman not prepared.
But you know, Christianity works.
It's not all up here, you know. This is only 5% of all.
And so, sure enough, he said, well, look, he says, you're so kind. He said, okay, we'll come to the meeting.
Never forget him coming. He and his wife and family come to the meeting night after night, night after night. We were getting a little bit excited about it because the man was troubled. And as he went out on a Friday night, he said, I'm sorry. And we were closing on the Sunday. He said, I'm sorry. He said, I won't be here on Sunday night. You know what that's like? And he said, I would like to be, but I have a commitment and I have to honor my word.
And I remember Robert well, because we talked together, and he said, you know, too bad, we're going to let this Sunday night go off, and get a drop. But on Sunday night, when we pulled into the yard of that hole, to leave our car,
in come his car. Right? I said, well, now that doesn't stay up. What would?
Ha-ha. Boy, he didn't just say that night.
No. But he was real troubled.
Robert went to Toronto, just happened to be with Dunal, and I stayed for a night or two.
I was meeting down somewhere, I forget now where it was. And it was on the country. And the phone rang.
The brother, whom I mentioned first in that farmyard, he phoned up. He says, are you going to be around a little while? I said, yes.
Well, he said, that man's right in my house right now, pacing up and down the floor. He can't work. He can't sit. He wants to be saved. You haven't heard that yet, have you? That's how it
is. I went over to the house and I seen him yet, Bill Bush. He's walking up and down like this here, pacing. And he's talking to himself, and he's saying, I'm lost, I'm going to hell, and I don't know how to get saved, what am I going to do? And he was, I said, just a moment, calm yourself, just sit down. I was a little older than
him.
So he sat down. And Mr., the farmer and I started to talk, and I wasn't talking directly to him. I wasn't peppering with curses or trying to push him into anything. We don't do that, Greg. That would only give you a protection.
And that will never take you through the prayer long gate. You need a protection.
But anyway, when I was talking to the farmer, I said, it's not a wonderful word. Teltiestai. I mightn't quote it even right. It means head and fool. Sin's debt, head and fool. And the farmer said to me, yes, it's a wonderful letter.
I hear Bill just said, thank God I'm going to heaven. Not to hell. My sin's debt. Christ, heavenly Christ.
Oh, you're just preaching the back of your head with things like that, and don't worry about that, that's not my notes. And boy, I tell you, I'll never forget it, I said, that's wonderful. And Bill looked at me, he says, can you get down and thank God? I said, absolutely. Ever hearing you bleat from a woman that's just got saved? Boy, I tell you, we need to get back to that. No long prayer there. Just from the depths of his heart and the tears coursing down his face. A Catholic coming out, my friend of darkness, into life. Liberated. He said, well, can I tell my... I said, I'm going to phone my wife and tell her. This amazing thing would happen. I'll never forget him getting the phone and dying in the number. And he was so overcome. The last words he said, look, my dear, I can't get it out, but I'll tell you when I get home.
If you know what the rest of that story is, his father said to him, you never set your foot over the door again, son. And he laughed. He never.
He was disowned by his family. And you know, there were some of you tonight in the meeting, if you could say, your probably grandfather would hug you, or grandmother would hug you, or the kids would start singing, and keep that great word, what do we sing there sometimes? Happy day when Jesus washed my sins away. The place would ring. But friend tonight, he had to be put out.
Have you seen his first 2 years? Mother was in hospital dying of cancer. Somebody got in touch with them and said, you better go and visit your mother, she's in the hospital. Dad is cancer. I said, I better go, I didn't know that. the family don't touch base with me at all. He walked into the foyer there and spoke to the receptionist. And he says, I want to, is there Mrs. Bosch, in the, a patient in here? And I said, oh, yes, she said. She said, up and took the room, her husband's with her. Don't do that. He says, oh, I'll be back again. She said, just a moment. She said, who are you? He says, my name's Bill Bosch. She says, you're not leaving us, buddy. She said, there's a woman up there crying to God. And she keeps saying, Lord, where is Bill? I need my son. She said, I need what my son has done.
He says, I can't go up into that ward. He says, you don't know what my father's like. What he says, he means what he says and carries it out. I know. She said, that girl, I don't know how she is or not, boy. I'll tell you. She was right in target. She said, don't you worry. She said, I'll take your dad down to the restroom. We'll get him coffee. We'll get him down there and keep him busy for a little while. You better go up.
That's what she did. And Bill walked into the room. Dear mother, thousands had just a few pounds in the bed.
And she looked up and she threw her arms up, oh, and she hugged him. She says, Bill, where have you been?
She said, I need what you've got. I'm dying. I'm going out into the dark. My religion's left me. Can you help me, Bill? I need what you've got.
And I want to tell you, boy, tonight, it's time you were awakened to the very best of your soul. Living my friend with all the privileges to go down into hell 10 times deep.
People in the darkness of our shame, hearing it for the first time.
He told her the story of the cross. They hear coming down his face. And he told his dying mother how God saved him. And he told his dying mother, why? Mother, he says, look at the work of the cross. It's Christ alone.
She said, I'll never forget. Before she sunk back in the bed, weary and tired, she said, thanks, Tom. I'll meet you in heaven. Thank you.
Friend, tonight in the meeting,
let me ask you,
what are you going to do with this work? Are you going to fool around your life? My friend, the victory's wrought. Christ has put away sin. And the triumph of the cross will ring throughout eternity. And the ages of ages. There's a dear sister here just met her today from Mexico, from Venezuela, from Fiji Islands, from New Zealand, from Australia, from my friend the Heart of Russia, and from Ireland, England, Scotland, and Wales, from every part of the world.
We'll stand in heaven, sure. And I saw that name of the one who finished the work.
And if you're looking at yourself to get saved, never there, friend. Never look within. Never try to work up something emotional. Now don't try, my friend, to work it out by figuring or by yourself.
Just listen to what Christ said. Work.
Death paid in full. The mighty debt was paid when on Calvary Jesus died to atone for a sinner's sin.
I hope tonight will say to this. Don't feel that is a person for many years.
Listen, I know it takes time to for God to work. We agree with that. And we try to be patient, and I know that.
But I believe a person who's going to hall for the first time and bless you. In fact, there's a brother in the island, a singer, among the French people, and God saved him, and he brought a man to the conference, for the first time in a conference, in Prince Edward Island. That man just saved that first man. You see, friend, where there's a heart that will break and acknowledge, yes, this is what I need. My sins are taking me to hell.
My sins are a barrier to God. I'll never be in heaven apart from God's holy word that tells me Christ died for the ungodly.
The work is finished. Thank God for it. You know, another word that I like is the word liberty.
That's found in John.
John gives us the great secret of true freedom from bondage.
You know, how sad is the bondage of Satan.
How blessed when the chains are all broken, the songs of deliverance begin.
I go back to when God saved me right now. Excuse me.
I'm going to tell my conversion tonight, but I'm telling you every night.
You know, you don't have to pump up your conversion.
If you do, there's something wrong.
I went back when I was liberated, when the chains fell off, and my friend, when the shackles of sin were broken, and when I stood in absolute freedom, I knew my sins were gone, liberty, power.
You cannot be born at the work of the cross.
Liberty given. Who, if the Son shall set you free, you shall be free indeed.
I always remember that Mr. Christ told about how the poor were healed. You remember down in the cotton fields when those dear black people were under the heel of the whites? And he used to sing, of course, down there, you know, the old story, you've read it in history. If you haven't, it's worth reading. And you read it in history, you know, they sang in the cotton fields under the taskmaster, under their masters, they sang, "Our God is watching all the time. Another world. Try to get some ease in it at all."
There was a man broke ranks down there in those dark days among the black history, and he broke ranks. His name was Douglas.
He was a very good speaker. And he got out from the masters and he fled for freedom and he arrived in Boston, Massachusetts.
When he got into Boston, Massachusetts, he took further his education. And he started to be champion for the cause of freedom.
And he started championing. And he used to pack halls. Anyone who went to hear Douglas, they just packed the hall. He had a tremendous ability to speak and put over his message.
Well, things were not looking good and no seemingly sign of freedom in view. The tunnel was dark. And the black man was suffering, and Douglas was championing their cause. And one day he got up to the microphone, and as he looked at this crowd of a packed audience, he said, "Look, I can't speak anymore." He said, "The white man is against us." And he said, "The Constitution is against us." He says, "The world is against us."
He started to cry. The little black girl at the back cupped her hands to her mouth. She said, "Douglas, is God there?" The kids started to say, "Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And the pipe raised, "You know something? What happened the next day? Why I'm telling that story? It's the rest of the story that touched me." Abraham Lincoln put a quill in his hand. And before it was a big sheet. The abolishing of slavery.
You know what he did? He didn't sign it immediately. His hand was quivering.
He was trembling as dear Abraham Lincoln was just about to put his signature, Abraham Lincoln, to sign a declaration of liberty and freedom. He said, I don't want, Mr. President, I don't want generations to ever think that I was hesitant in writing my name. And he waited until his hand was down.
I want to tell you something. I have a greater signature than Abraham Lincoln for my freedom.
If the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. Thank God, friends. Those that are saved, those that have trusted in the value of the blood, the work of Christ, the death of Christ, that's their only boast for heaven, their only plea to enter the pearl-hung gates, their only foundation for eternity, the only escape from hell, the only way their sins have been put away
is the work of the cross. And He in the Son sets free.
Are you glad to see it tonight?
Yeah. If you're not saved tonight, I hope you're listening. We're not preaching joy in the gospel part.
We're not preaching this. Thank you.
by church.
We're not preaching, my friend,
trying to give your heart to Jesus. I've often wondered if I've not known the Bible.
Imagine Albert Hall, 41 years old, giving God life.
It was, I'll say no more. God had written me off.
But I'll tell you what he did give me.
He gave me freedom. He gave me salvation.
He gave me true deliverance from bondage.
My friend, I've got his signature. This God says he's free. He shall be free. And you know, when I preach it, I can almost read a part of it in this meeting. And they say, listen, well, that sounds so easy, but you watch. How did you do it? See something? What would you want to say to
I have to. Well, I'm going to get rubbish further.
I have to work up the illusion.
Did the leaving die for anybody? Did believing pay the price of my sin? The word believing, you can interchange it with the word faith. A faith just
taking God this way. That's not very hard.
If I have victory in John 19, and if I have liberty in John chapters 8, I have also certainty.
John 5, 24.
Verily, verily, truly, truly, the Catholic version, amen, amen. So let it be, so let it be. He that heareth my word, believeth God that sent me, that's the cross, that's the victory of the cross, hath everlasting life, and shall not come into judgment,
but is passed from death to life.
See, we're living in a world of uncertainty. You'll ask a number of people, tap them on the shoulder, tap to them, and you say you're going to heaven. Well, I hope so, I guess so.
I will ask you a simple question. I'm not a millionaire. I mean, in the terms of the greenback, not the problem, the redback.
I'm not a millionaire.
But in the spiritual realm, I'm more than that.
I can't put any
evaluation. I can't get a high enough figure to put on the redemption of my soul. That's the work of Christ. The work of Christ.
Listen, friend, tonight. Verily, verily, just means amen, amen. So let it be, speed it here is my word. Believeth God that sent me, has possession. That's what I was talking about. Not profession. Possession. Ha ha.
It's A-T-H.
Everlasting. Shall not come into the judgment, condemnation, hell, but is from death to life. You know, I feel a challenge in you tonight.
Have you got everlasting life? What have you not eaten? What's your foundation? What's your...
Let God challenge your heart. Let God speak to your soul. What have I really got? Have I got a scriptural foundation?
Faith
just brings me into the good.
That great work. Remember Sandy Trimble, don't know if somebody might know the name here, but I always remember him telling his conversion.
He told about two men, I think, come to the little village where he was, and they put up a little tent,
and they did one. We have a God.
And of course, the boys put up the tent, and they were going to have these meetings, and it happened to be he was walking.
If I recall the story from a large number of years ago, he was walking down the road early in the morning just for a walk or passing by, and he heard one. And that. Aha. And he looked in, and there were two men in the room. And he heard those men, and he said, this is so bad. He went to
long until he was helping them to get the chairs to be beat out of his room. Kitchen was so close to helping with the chair. Well, one night lying in bed, troubled, concerned, deeply burdened, he goes, "God, what? I want to be saved. Help me. I want to know how." He says, that night and that day, they were. That's not the end of the story. Prayer. Here's the story. So what's the next one? Well, everything's insecure. I'm not a stock market man. I'm not against people that don't want to do that. Don't you ever think when we're preaching up here, we're denouncing this and denouncing that. That's your business. I have no stocks, but I have no money to put this stuff. So, this is simple way. Anyway, there it is. But you know, oh, I saw the Black Monday. Did you see it? I did. I said to myself, my God, that's not my salvation. Oh, no. I looked at this newspaper the next morning. Remember the Black Monday? And if I ever saw faces, all shapes and sizes, and frowns and partner living countenances, it was that morning. Stop the now! And I said, thank God, when I said Christ is up, there's not going to be any of that. No. The market's the same, right through. Quick prayer. Liberty. Certainty. Security. I have prayed. What? And more.
You know, as I close this meeting,
the greatest tragedy that could befall me, you just heard of one just for me. Oh. We can't even begin to graphically describe it, even without the fact of it. Last year, the mayor. Yes, the Lord Jesus said, if you die in your sins, right out. There's no greater tragedy than this.
So we're going to leave one another tonight. It'll either be leaving this hall in Christ, trusting in the victory, enjoying the liberty, knowing the certainty, appreciating the security, or you'll leave this meeting out of Christ.
What's looming before you, endless agony. This is going to be tonight.
Father, we bow in thy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you for thy word, reminding us of these two men, two boys, divided in time and divided in eternity. O God, it all rested upon the sacrifice that we have been hearing. That sacrifice for whence flowed blood that met the eye of God. And in that thou didst see a greater sacrifice, thy Son upon the cross. We pray, Lord, to remember these souls tonight to whom we've preached. We love them all. We've preached to them because we love them. And God loves them more. And thou wouldst have them to be saved. Thou didst go to the extent of giving thy Son. And he went to the extent of finishing the work, to put away sin, cried it is finished. We pray that none might perish in this meeting, that all might settle it tonight for eternity, and know their sins forgiven. Part us with thy blessing in the Savior's name. Amen. And we'll just sing one verse of a hymn and the meeting is concluded. Number 114. And verse number 2, still undecided. Slight not the voice, breathing so kindly. Make me thy choice. Look at my hands and see. I bore the nails for thee. I died to make thee free. Come and rejoice. Verse 2 of number 114.